Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
The focus today is going to be on communion, and I want to tell you the title up front. The title of the message today is A Time for Love and Remembrance. A Time for Love and Remembrance. Let's say this together. A time for love and remembrance. This is what communion should be. Every time we take communion, it is a time for love and remembrance. There's supposed to be a special celebration that takes place when we gather together around the Lord's table. And I want to say this before we start to read these verses, is that when you look at the communion table, the best way to understand it is to look at it as the New Testament version of the Old Testament Passover. How many saw the Ten Commandments with, what's his name, Charlton Heston? Any? Some of you are... Go look it up. It's worth it, all right? So I'll never forget watching that as a kid and or The Prince of Egypt when my kids got it. They didn't really go through the actual scene in the house. But the gist of it is that in our history, okay, when you go back into the Old Testament, the people of Israel had been slaves for 400 years. And God raised up a deliverer whose name was Moses. And he sent Moses back to speak to Pharaoh. And he said, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And through a series of events, a series of plagues that took place, finally, Pharaoh and Egypt, which was at that time the reigning geopolitical power of the world. They had one of the greatest armies. They had one of the greatest basically cities, the whole structure of how they did things. It was one of the reigning powers of the world, and a man without an army and just a staff, a little stick and the word of the Lord, he broke the back of Egypt. Now the culminating event of that deliverance was on the night when God told Moses, tell your people to get a lamb. Okay, and to sacrifice that lamb and prepare a meal. It's called a Passover meal. For the sake of time, we can't go into all of the symbolism of the Passover meal. It's a very elaborate meal that takes place. But he said, sacrifice the lamb that you're going to cook and eat with your family and take the blood of that lamb and put it over the doorposts of your house. And I'm going to send my angel. It's going to be an angel of judgment, an angel of death. And when I send that angel, when he sees the blood over your doorpost, he will pass over you. And judgment will not fall. Death will not visit your home. Wherever I see the blood, there will be no death. However, on the homes where I don't see the blood, the firstborn will be struck down. And because the Egyptians and because of Pharaoh, they didn't believe in God. They refused to put the blood on their doorposts. And so death came, and even to Pharaoh's house, death came and his firstborn son was taken from him. And finally, he said, go ahead and leave. And they left Egypt. They woke up one morning as slaves. They had been slaves for 400 years. And then they woke up the next morning, and now they were free. And how many know whom the sun sets free is free indeed? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This table, when Jesus was sacrificed, he was the sacrificial lamb. In the New Testament, Jesus, his shed blood was the one that's put over the doorpost of our hearts. So that we wouldn't be judged and we wouldn't get what we deserve. How many are thankful that when he sees the blood over our lives, he passes over? Hallelujah. So with that background, it's very important for us to understand. Now we're going to look at this because those that whom Paul was speaking to, they understood this background. They understood the Passover meal, and they understood the things that he meant. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 17. And we're going to make a couple of very important points from these 17 or so verses. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Now let me stop here and say, look up here for a moment. Let me stop here and saying, 1 Corinthians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul is correcting some of the things that they were doing as a church. You see? How many know we as a church, we have to do things in such a way that it's pleasing to God, not just pleasing to ourselves. Some people think that church is about pleasing self. No, church is about pleasing God. Can I get an amen? And so there were certain things that were taking place that were not pleasing to God, and he was saying this is not a good thing, okay? And church should be a place where you get the truth. Okay, Paul spoke the truth, and church should be a place where you get the truth, not just things that make you feel good. It should be a thing, things, truths that speak to your life, because how many know when you walk in the truth, that's when you feel best. That's what's best for your life. Amen? So in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. So they were divided, and he's talking specifically about this table, this communion table, but not just the table. He was using the table as evidence of deeper factions and divisions that were taking place among the people of God. We'll talk about that in a moment, but I want to give you this important background. It says, no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Do you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this manner. Okay, I got to walk you through this. So when they took communion, it was different. It was basically a giant potluck. So what they would do is everyone would bring some food, or everyone, as they were able to, would bring some food. So in this room, we might have some chicken parm over here, rokon gandula is over there. Somebody told me, you never mention Swedish people, but what do they make? Swedish meatballs, right? So that's a shout out to the Swedes, okay? And so there would be a variety of food that they would come, but they would come together to remember the Lord. And what was happening is because there wasn't real love among the people, they were saying, we're bringing food. And you know what? We're going to get our little clique, and God hates cliques. We're going to get our little clique, and we're just going to eat together, and we're going to bring our wine, and we're not going to share with anyone. And then people who came who were part of it, but they were poor, they were being left out, and they felt embarrassed. Okay, now, we don't do that, but this is still valuable to us. Okay, this is still very, very valuable to us, because those feelings can still manifest themselves in a congregation, you see? And so we need to make sure that when we walk in here, that's why, how many of you, we don't care what color people are. We don't care how much money they make. We don't care what their educational system. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So let's keep going. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. This is the passage we always read. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's keep going. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup," and this is the intimation of the continual nature of communion, okay? Whenever you drink it, there was an expectation that we would take communion over and over and over again. He said, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats," very important, this is, we usually don't go into all of this. I kind of explain it briefly, but today we're going to cover it. "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner," everyone say unworthy, very important, "unworthy manner, will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." Little more. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Almost done. But if we were more discerning with regards to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not finally be condemned with the world. This is a time for love and a time for love and remembrance. And what I want to do now is look at this passage and really teach and look at how should we be taking communion. What does the Bible teach about communion? Because we try to emphasize how powerful it should be every time that we take it. How many want to receive something from Jesus today? Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and this time. And God, we ask your blessing upon your word now. And God, we ask for your word to bring light, oh God, to shine in our hearts, oh God. God, we pray that your word would not only inspire us, but that it would instruct us, oh God. God, we pray, Father, that your word would search us today and that it would bring, oh God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the cleansing, oh God, of the blood. Bless, Lord, this communion service. Bless our time together in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to just very simply walk through this. And the first thing that this passage teaches us is that we're supposed to love. And by loving means, love means to be reconciled. Okay? So it talks about the fact, I have no praise for you because I hear when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. When we come together, and especially when you go to take communion, one of the key factors, please, everyone look at me for a second. One of the key factors whenever you take communion is that God wants all divisions to cease at the table. Gripes that we have against other people, roots of bitterness, things that grudges that we're holding against other people. What he's saying is, if you want me to cleanse you, you've got to let me cleanse what they've done to you. No division. You see? And so this is a very powerful thing. What does he mean by this? He means, look, regardless of what people have done, in the same way that the mercies of Jesus are new every morning, how many know we should be like Jesus and our mercies for other people should be also new every morning? You want to have a good marriage? Let your mercies for someone or for your spouse be new every morning. Can I get an amen? Now, here's the thing. I want to point something out to you. We don't talk about this often because we don't really have to, but since we're here, when the Bible says there are divisions among you, when Paul said that, he was speaking to something that they understood that we don't understand because we don't have farms right outside. We have concrete and and tar and buildings, but they that was a farming culture, and they understood. When he said divisions, he was speaking. There was a picture that was brought up in their minds, and I want to put this picture up, okay, for you. Now, you see this picture here? This is a farmland. This is farmland where I don't know if a machine did this. Looks like it was a machine. But either way, in the old days, they didn't have a machine. But they would either plow by hand or they had some instruments with animals that would plow. But those deep rows are like divisions that are necessary to be created. And then seeds are put into those rows so that there could be a fruit that would come up or some kind of crop that will come up. You understand? So he says when there are divisions among you, and he's saying the soil and the heart of your church looks like those rows. Okay? Division means that things happen by people talking or by people, in a lot of cases, it's gossip, by people gossiping or by fighting, all sorts of things. And when people gossip and fight, what they are doing is they are causing in the soil, in the body of Christ, they are causing these deep rows of division. And every gossip is like an unholy farmer. Okay? So it's like unholy farmers get among us sometimes, and they want to cause division. And I want to encourage you. Listen, it is demonic. Gossip is demonic. It's from the devil. And that's why at our church, when we hear that people gossip, we do what the Bible says. Warn them once, warn them twice, then have nothing to do with them. We don't tolerate gossip because it grieves. Put the picture back up. It grieves the heart of God when there's divisions among us. Okay? How many know there should be no division among us? If somebody does something to you, Matthew 18 says, if your brother sins against you, if they offend you, go to them. Don't be a coward. Don't be a chicken special. Okay? Talk to the person. Talk to them alone. Don't gossip. And he's saying, you know what's going on? There's cliques. You know, there's cliques among you. There's gossiping among you. There's all of this craziness. And let me tell you something, guys. Let me say this to you, okay? There's a proverb. I don't have it for you. But there's a proverb that says this. Gossip, the words of gossip, okay, they're kind of like sweet on the lips, but then they go down to the deepest, most inner being. And this is what I've seen over the years, being in the ministry, being in the church for 30 years now. Okay, this is what I've seen. When people participate in gossip, okay, what happens is they take it on the lips and they don't realize what it is. And if they don't repent, what happens is it goes down so deep into their spirit that they've just taken and they've just ingested a poison. And it is a slow time release poison. And people gossip and they talk bad and run down someone else and they feel like they're hurting that other person, but they don't realize the poison is actually inside of them. And what ended up happening is as I watch. Okay, you could literally see and look by the, when you've been a pastor for a while, okay, when you've been doing this, the Bible says know the condition of your flock, okay, and what that means is know the countenance of your flock, right? So look, I know Angelo and his new bride now, right? So how many years I know him? I look at his face all the time I talk to him. Don't you think that if I look at his face and there's something wrong in his spirit, it doesn't show on his countenance? Do you know how many times, sometimes you talk to people, they're like, praise God, oh, it's so good to see you. And then you ever have someone say, hey, how are you doing? They go like, okay, hi. And they can't even look you in the eyes. What does that tell you guys? When someone can't say hello, they can't look you in the eyes, what does that tell you? It tells you something's up. In many cases, gossip is involved. You know, don't you love that they go like that? They go, praise God. Gossip. And he's saying, listen, there's divisions among you. okay? And the person who participates in that, little by little, their spirit gets darker and darker and darker. And then, you know what they say? You know, I'm not being fed at the church anymore. Oh, really? You know? It's like, you know what? I'm not being ministered to. We've heard it all. Hey, let me tell you something, okay? Because we preach this, I'm the kind of pastor, we rejoice when people come and we rejoice when people go. If somebody goes to another church and that's really suiting them, I praise God because, first of all, this is not my church, okay? I just happen to be assigned to be here. You get what I mean? I am grateful to be here, and I feel like this is an amazing trip that the Lord has allowed for my wife and I to be on, and it's just awesome. I get a front row seat to see what God is doing, but I don't lay claim to anything. Okay, there's not a stitch in the carpet that we're responsible for. So, listen, people come, people go, it's all God's kingdom. But when people gossip, if they don't repent, we want them to go. And that's a crazy thing for a pastor to say. Okay, if people refuse to repent, then that's it. Because we can't allow other people being hurt by division. And so Paul was saying, look, okay, look, no factions, no cliques, you know. Well, they understand my culture. So what? So what? You know, try some Swedish meatballs. They're pretty good, you know. Come on. So we need to be careful. Wherever there's division, there's the devil. And here's what I've seen over the years. And I'll tell you this also. And this sermon is about more stuff, so I gotta get off of this hobby horse. But we don't talk about this often in messages, okay? But look, our church is over 1,000 people. And for the most part, we don't have a lot of gossip here. Once in every 4 or 5 years, a little rash breaks out. You know, bodies get a rash. And usually it's like 5 people, 10 people. But can I tell you, whenever we have to deal with gossip, okay, it always feels like the whole body is sick. And it's so draining to us pastors. It's so draining. It's so discouraging when people in the body gossip and talk about each other. You know, and whether it doesn't matter who they're talking about, each other, they could be talking about us. It is just, you want to talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. And so Paul was saying, look, if you're going to take communion, okay, don't be a hypocrite. Don't walk through the doors of the church and get with the people of God and be backbiting and be divisive in your heart and be holding grudges and unforgiveness. And then participate in this sacred. How many know this is sacred? How many know just because it's symbolic doesn't mean it's not also sacred? And so the first thing that love means is be reconciled. Be reconciled, simply stated, means be reconnected so that there's no disconnection. How many want to pray for no disconnection in the body of Christ? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's keep going. The second thing that it means, it's a time for love, for reconnection, but then it's also a time for remembrance. Okay? He says, do this several times. Do this in remembrance of me. And remembrance basically means look back and recall the cross. Look back. He says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, everyone, let's read this together. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. A little bit more. Do we have the rest of it? In the same way, he says, ready, start with this again. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. You see? And so this is a time of remembrance, but it's a special time of spiritual remembrance. It's a holy remembrance. It's when we stop and we think about what Jesus did for us, okay? And here are the basics of it. Number one, remember the sacrifice. Remember the sacrifice. In a little while, we'll be taking this cracker. This cracker is our simple, humble way of remembering that Jesus' body was brutalized for us. Like, what could we do? What kind of bread could we send out for? So it's a little cracker. But it symbolizes something so incredible and so powerful. Now, back at the Old Testament, that night, okay, this bread, it was unleavened bread. It was real flat. You know matzah? It's flat. There's no leaven. There's no agent in it that makes it rise, because in the Bible, that yeast, that leavening agent, is a type of sin. You see? But Jesus came. He came and he was perfect. There was no leaven in him. He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He who knew no sin, he became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so that bread, if could you put that up, that the body of Christ became our bread of affliction. How many are thankful that he was tortured for our mercy and forgiveness, for our freedom and forgiveness? How many are thankful that he was willing to do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. When you think about communion and when you think about this, this means that Jesus was punished for us. He was brutally punished for our sin. He was the sacrificial lamb. That's how we're saved. That's how we're justified. The word justified means just what it really means is that when you participate in communion, when you accept that body, that sacrifice for you, it's just as if you had never sinned before. You know why? It's not because you didn't sin, but because the sinless one paid for the sin. That's what that means. Secondly, remembering means that we remember the blood. Means that we remember the blood. Now, God's blood became our blessing, and here's why. So, when we go to take this on that night, the night of the Passover, when Moses was with his family and all of the other Jewish families in Israel, this was called the cup of blessing. Everyone say that, cup of blessing. This was called the cup of blessing. He said, this cup is the new covenant or the new contract in my blood. And when they drank the wine that night, okay, when they drank it, they were saying, we're drinking, there's blood over the doorpost. And we're drinking this today. And you know what? Because we drink this today, we know that blessing is waiting for us tomorrow. We know that when we wake up, because we're forgiven, because of the power of the blood, we're going to walk out of here free. We're going to walk out of here forgiven. We're going to walk into the great blessing of the Heavenly Father for our lives. When you take this today, it doesn't matter what you've done. Not because it's not bad. Not because it's not sinful or wretched or horrible. But because his blood was so powerful and his blood never loses power, that whoever accepts the fullness of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus is now ready for the blessing of God to be upon their life. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. It's over. It's like Chrissy was testifying right there. She was having a spiritual communion. The Lord was saying, it's under the blood, Chrissy, it's over. You see? This is so powerful. So remembrance, okay? Remembrance means that you look back and you look at the body. You look back and you look at the blood that was shed. We have to remember that he paid that price, okay? He paid the price so that we could be forgiven and blessed. Some people, listen very quickly, and we're coming to the last point, I'm going down now. Some people accept forgiveness but don't expect blessing. God doesn't want you to leave here today like that. Some people say, okay, he's forgiven me, but I still don't deserve blessing. But how many know that cup? It's the cup of blessing. Hallelujah. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. It's like, I forgive you, and I remember your sin no more, and so now I'm ready to bless you. How many are thankful that God is ready to bless us? Hallelujah. And then here's the last point, and we'll come down and take communion very quickly here. Okay? It means remember the sacrifice, remember the blood. But here's what the rest of this passage really says. It means remember to repent. Everyone say repent. Okay, so look at this. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. Everyone ought to examine themselves. It means that you take the time to really look at your heart today. Today, in the presence of a holy God, okay? And you say, God, turn the light on. God, and whatever you want to deal with, whatever you want to speak to, God, today, right now, in your presence, I believe in the power, oh God, of your sacrifice, and I believe in the power of your blood. But here's the thing, you have to repent. You've got to let God deal with it. It says, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Some people take communion in such a light way. They're so dismissive of communion that they don't realize that the opposite result is taking place. Now this is think about how rich the mercy of God is. Think about how inclusive God is, okay? Quick quiz, is there any sin that Jesus is unwilling to forgive? No, how many will forgive everything? Right? Is there anything that you do that he won't forgive? No, he'll forgive everything. However, what if you don't want to repent? What if you just keep ignoring it? What if you keep pushing it to the side? What if you come to church and you just play church? You see, here's the thing, guys. Here's why the church is weak and sick and in some cases dead, as he mentions. You know why? It's because people can't be convicted of sin anymore. You know? And pastors are getting afraid to talk about sin. You know, it's like, well, more people are like, I'm not going back to that church. I don't want to hear about my sinful heart. Don't you realize that Jesus offers cleansing and forgiveness? But if you're not willing to deal with your sin, it's like you're heaping judgment upon yourself. That's what the Bible teaches. So how does this flesh out? And then we're going to get ready to take this. It's like, I won't forgive that person for what they did. God is saying, forgive them. I won't forgive them. Okay? No, no, no. Forgive them because I want to forgive you. Or I won't give up that drug, or I won't give up my pornography, or I won't give up that unholy relationship, or I won't give it up. Okay. You don't want to give that up? Fine. Then I can't bless you. You see? Look. Without deep conviction, we will not experience deep grace. Grace is God doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you, listen, if you're married here and you're in strife with your spouse, and certain things are being pointed out in you, would you just let the Holy Spirit deal with you and stop being so stubborn? We've all been there. Amen. Every married person has been there. You know, it's so much better when you say, Lord, I'm guilty. Not them. It's taking an honest look at self. It's not taking an honest look at other people. You know, anybody can do that. But in light of the cross, okay, listen, everyone listen to me. Not in light of other people, in light of the cross. Take an honest look at yourself. We're going to take communion now. And I want you to, as we start to pass out the cup and the bread, I want you to take an honest look at yourself. You know, the funny thing about God is that when we're honest and open, he can speak pretty clearly. You know, you ever notice that? You say, okay, God, deal with me. Oh, yeah, we'll go pay that back. or, we'll go say sorry to so-and-so. You ever found that gets fast? Because the Holy Spirit wants you clean and free. So we're going to do that now. Now, as we're passing that out, I want you to, if you're a Christian, I want you to begin to pray and let the Lord search you. But there's one thing I have to say. If you're not a Christian, in fact, I better go back up here for a moment. I'm walking up, and I want you to just listen for another moment or so. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you've taken communion before, which is okay, but maybe you've never accepted Jesus into your heart. What this passage of Scripture teaches us is not to do outwardly what we haven't done inwardly spiritually. So if you're going to take communion as a believer, what you're supposed to do is say, God, search my heart and deal with whatever you want. But as an unbeliever, if you're going to take communion, the first thing that you need to do is say, before I accept the symbol today, I want to accept the reality today. Maybe you've never invited Jesus into your heart. And if you're here and you've never invited Jesus into your heart, I would love to lead you in a prayer. I know that there's a lot of movement going on, but that's okay. It doesn't mean this is a spiritual moment. This is a sacred activity that's taking place right now. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've known Jesus in a religious way, but not a relational way. I've never opened up my heart to him and asked him to be my Lord and my Savior and to forgive me deep inside, that he would be my Lord and my Master. If you're here today and that's you, I'm going to ask for you to raise your hand and I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Is there anyone here you want to give your life to Christ today before you actually take communion? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Any other hand? Thank you. Hallelujah. A number of hands are going up. I'll wait one more minute. Is there anyone else? You want to invite Jesus into your heart. You want to receive him as your Lord and Savior. As the cup and the bread are going, just hold on to them. Anyone else? Thank you. You can put your hand down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer very quickly. We can all say this together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. Thank you for reminding me of your great sacrifice. I thank you for coming to this earth. And I thank you for living a sinless life and then dying on the cross for me. Forgive me, Lord, for all of my sin and for all of my offenses against you. Wash my heart and my mind with your precious blood and make me clean. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you in. And ask that you would sit on the throne of my heart and be my Lord and my Master and my Savior and my friend. Thank you for receiving me, even as I receive you. Amen. Amen. Praise be to the living God. All of those who just prayed that prayer for the first time, Jesus now lives in your heart. You are a child of God. You have been saved. You can know that you are going to heaven to be with Jesus forever. You have now invited him into your heart, and so you can participate in this sacred ceremony right now, because the inside is now going to match the outside. We're going to give you a packet, and we ask that you take a moment and fill out a card there. Someone is going to want to talk to you. And so we praise God that you've come into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now we're going to take communion now. And we've got time. This won't be long. But I want everyone to close your eyes and just examine your heart for a minute. Is there any sin? Is there any behavior? Is there any unforgiveness? Any activity? Is there anything that you know that you've been participating in that is not pleasing to God? Today is the day. He wants to cleanse and he wants to forgive. We have to remember as we come to the communion table that we forgive other people because Jesus didn't just die for our sin, but he died for their sin against us as well. Today we want to let it go and we want to invite the searching of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we release it to him. Amen. Pastor Dave and Pastor Jake, why don't you come? The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Pastor Dave is going to pray for the body that symbolizes his sacrifice for us. And then we'll take it together.
Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we thank you so much for what you've done for us on the cross. Lord, when we look upon the cross, oh God, we see, oh Lord, our sins, oh God. Lord, everything that we've ever done, oh God. Lord, you were broken on our behalf, oh God. And we thank you, oh Lord, that the punishment that we deserve, that you took it, oh God. You took all the scorn and the shame, oh God. We thank you, oh Lord, that you, oh God, have made us new by your broken body, oh Lord. You said in your word, oh God, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed, oh God. And we thank you that today we can be healed. We can be restored, oh God, because you took the punishment that we deserved, oh God. And Lord, there's no more wrath that's left for us, oh God, because you took it all upon yourself, oh God. And we thank you, oh Lord, that you did that for us. God, we thank you for your body and we thank you for your sacrifice in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's take the bread together. Hallelujah. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, the new contract." Hallelujah. "Whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, the victorious death of Christ, until he comes." Pastor Jake is going to pray now for the cup and we'll take it together.
Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was shed, oh God. For your blood that was poured out for each and every one of us on Calvary, oh God. God, as we remember, and right now as we partake in this act, oh God, Lord, we do it and we proclaim your victory over every sin, oh God, and over every shortcoming in our lives, oh God. And so, God, as we receive your forgiveness, oh God, Lord, we want to receive the fullness, oh God, of all that you did on Calvary, oh God. So, God, we want to receive your blessing that comes with the cup, oh God. And God, we want to walk in fullness in your victory, oh God. So God, we thank you for your cup, oh God. We thank you for the blood that was shed, oh God. Lord, that washes us, oh God, not partly, but completely, oh God, and allows us to walk in freedom and in victory, oh God, and receive the fullness of your blessing. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Let's take the cup together. Hallelujah. Could we stand right now and just begin to thank him and to praise him? And then we're just going to close in prayer. But come on, let's just thank him for a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, God. We have found our freedom in you, our healing in you, our deliverance in you, God. We sang it, oh God, and we walk out experiencing it and leaving it today, oh God. Thank you for your goodness, oh God. Thank you for your blessing, oh God. We love you, God, and we praise you, oh God. Hallelujah. Now, this is the way we're going to leave here. When we experience the cup, it's the cup of blessing. It's not just the cup of cleansing, it's the cup of blessing. I want you to take the hand of someone next to you, and we're going to pray for that cleansing and blessing, that blessing. Hallelujah. Father, we go from this place rejoicing in the sacrifice and in the cleansing power of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, oh God. And we thank you, God, that every hand that is being held is a candidate for your blessing. And we ask for blessing to be poured out, oh God. We ask for an outpouring, oh God, of what only you can do for your people. God, I ask that as they went out from Egypt, they plundered the Egyptians. They got started out poor, but they went out rich, oh God. Let your people be released in the abundance of your blessing today, oh God. Let them walk in, oh God. Hallelujah. God, as doors have been slammed shut to pass sin, God, we thank you that doors are now also open to your blessing, oh God. Let every person be assured of the fact that they're not just clean, oh God, but they are ready to be blessed by you. And we thank you, and we go rejoicing in you from this place in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give him a strong hand.